Thank you very much for invitation, and I'm very delighted to present some aspect of our long-term relationship between Kazan State Medical University and Yale Medical School, particularly Internal Medicine Department. A special thanks goes to the leadership of each of these two institutions, Yale Global Health Center, headed by Dr. Rastegar, and Professor Zeganshin and Bula Zeganshin from Kazan State Medical University, and so many of the participants, numerous really to be cited and named here. And by the way, I do not have any financial disclosure to make. This is my outline. It's going to be briefly description of the Kazan State Medical University and Yale School of the Medicine partnership. I would mainly focus on historical background and some of the accomplishments, particularly related to the capacity building. And if there is time, I may really touch on establishing global health program in Kazan State Medical University and a tripartite exchange program between Makerere University, Kazan State Medical University, and Yale Medical School. Why it was very important to start some sort of the educational capacity building in Russia. This is the 1990s, and this is immediately after the Soviet Union is falling apart, and medical education and infrastructure of the healthcare system, which is totally financially dependent on the central government, is completely deprived of the finance. Medical education and infrastructure of the public health falls completely apart, and then based on this specific need, in a matter of fact, USAID gave $5 million to three major universities in the United States. The money was managed by Rochester, with two of the American universities, Yale University School of the Medicine and Syracuse Medical Center, to establish an educational exchange program with 13 medical schools in Russia and Ukraine and Belarus, as you can see. And what the intention of the grant was basically I modernized the medical education in these 13 Russian medical schools. After 5 years, unfortunately, grant was not renewed, and Yale basically established only focusing on one medical center, and that was Kazan State Medical University. And since 1996, practically speaking, we have been exchanging the skills and also partnership with Kazan State Medical University. And this is the map of the new Russia, as you can see, Tatarstan, that red region. This is one of the 83 regions in the Russia, so this is not part of the southern Russian Republic, basically. This is the central part of the Russia, and is 3 million of the people that live in Tatarstan. And the capital of the Tatarstan is Kazan, and in a matter of fact, is the third, basically, most culturally celebrated city in Russia. Obviously, St. Petersburg is number one, Moscow is second, and Kazan number third, and is officially known as the third capital of Russia, and is located on the left bank of the beautiful really, river of Volga. Is 1.1 million is the population of the city. It was a completely independent country till almost the 16th century when Ivan the Terrible conquered this part of the Russia, and since then it has become a part of the Russia. 50% of them, they are Russians, and overwhelming majority of them, they are Christians, and 50% of the population, they are basically Tatar, and overwhelming majority of them, they are Muslim. So this is where the East meets the West. It's the site of the art, you know, and music. Those of you who love the Rachmaninoff is coming from the same part. Lenin went to the college in the same place, and the first demonstration of the communism basically happened in this part of the Russia. And it's a beautiful really Kremlin of the Kazan, and you can see mosques and basically the church here lining up face to face. And Kazan State Medical University, which is basically a health science university, has almost 5,000 students, is the third most prestigious really medical college in central part of Russia. And this is the site that discovery of the oxidative phosphorylation happened. This is the site that proof for a neurotransmitter happened. And this is the site that really major neurosciences, particularly Pavlov, you know, experience Pavlov coming from the same part of Russia as well. And I told you a little about the statistic. You know, this medical university has 700 teaching faculties. But let me remind you, this is 1996, and 1996, there is not much of the really advanced medical education in this part of Russia. They didn't have any access to the computers, and major, basically, textbooks, they were printed in 1950s or 1960s. And this is one of the views of one of the basically medical words. As you can see, that the basic medical, basically technology. And this is the CCU or intensive care unit, couple of really monitors that they were not really even working. So the thought was basically we need really to talk to the leadership of the university and let's really talk with the same language. Let's have a common basically interest. We knew that we have to improve the English skills, and particularly there was newly established English club, so we tried really to support that club. And then we brought a significant number of the textbooks and journals, and we gave and we established a medical library in English. And then we started selecting very young junior faculty to bring to Yale between 6 to 12 months, and then return them back to Kazan. And then if we sent any faculty or any students or residents to Kazan Medical University, we all the time request them to focus on evidence-based medicine, teaching how to teach. In a matter of fact, we send Jeff Wong, who is very famous in how to teach, seven times to Kazan State Medical University to basically teach the faculty how to teach. And then also we try to teach them the architect of the clinical research, and particularly because we knew that HIV is moving to that part of the Russia, we mainly focused on HIV prevention and treatment. And then finally, we established the global health and tropical medicine that, if time allows me, I'm going to allude to that. But the goal was very clear. We want to create a core group in Kazan who would then initiate a gradual change in medical education, initially at graduate and later on at undergraduate level. This is almost the first basically evidence-based medicine group, and every single year in May for 2 weeks we have very vigorous really core curriculum about evidence-based medicine, and we offer it to medical students in the morning, and we give the same course really but more advanced to the younger faculty as well as the postgraduate group. And this is basically the infectious disease and HIV course that we also gave during May. And usually we have 4 or 5 of us from United States and UK, and we go together and we give a very vigorous course really about the HIV and also infectious diseases. Then after 5 or 6 years, we moved to another big city in Tatarstan, in Chelny, and we connected ourselves to infectious disease HIV prevention center. And then more recently, in a matter of fact, even we moved beyond Tatarstan and we went to Bashkortostan, which is another region in the central part of the Russia, very close to Siberian part of the Russia. And we start absolutely doing the same sort of the core curriculum in evidence-based medicine and HIV and infectious diseases in this part of Russia. And we were connected to the HIV activists, and some of these people now, they are very famous really in Russia, both in Russia and United States, because basically they are very vocal as the HIV activists in Russia. And this is Dr. Trastegard, the head of the basically global health at Yale, and he annually goes to Russia and brings some of the nephrologists from some part of the United States, basically, to give a workshop in kidney diseases in Russia. So I told you the main goal of bringing Russia to Yale was basically around the capacity building. And let me only focus on some of the statistics. You can see we have brought 41 of the residents, medical students, and faculty to Russia. But if you exclude six of them that happened during the USAID, basically, grant, 35 has brought to Yale during 1996 till today. And you would say five of them, they were basically medical students, and we learned that we shouldn't bring any medical student to the United States because all of them, they went back to Russia and then they came back to the United States and they stay in the United States. I will show you the statistic. And then you would say that overwhelming majority of them that we brought to the United States for training your junior faculty or your postgraduate, basically, resident and graduates. And this is the current employment of the program participant, 28 or 80% of them, of those 35, they stayed in Russia. And you can see seven of them, or 20% of them, they are now working internationally. And five of the medical students that I mentioned to you, five of them, they are in the United States. And this is the current employment within the Russia. You would say that 57% of them still they are working in Kazan State Medical University, and then 11% of them they are working in the second highest, basically, medical education in Kazan. So overwhelming majority of them still they are working in educational centers in Kazan. One migrated to UK, and six of them they came to United States. And now if you look at 16 of them that you are working in Kazan State Medical University, this is the study group because we wanted to know what is the impact of basically these 16 who stayed in Kazan State Medical University. I'm not going to need to bother you with the details because still, you know, we are in the phase of the analyzing the data. But I want to tell you that five of them, they are basically trained in internal medicine, three in infectious diseases, two in ophthalmology, two in surgery, two in OB-gynecology, one pathophysiology, and one in English language. And then this is the, when they came to United States, this was their level of the training. And if you look at this one, you can see now two of them particularly now are the head of the departments. And particularly I'm going to focus on the accomplishment of these two, because when you wait enough, the seeds is going to grow very beautifully. But you need to wait 16 years. And then this is the control group, but I'm not going to take much of time to go through the detail. But this is when we ask these specific questions from these 16, basically, trainees. Are you still academically involved with your Yale mentors? You will see 57% of them still they are in relationship with the mentors. The mentors many frequently goes to Russia and they come back again to the United States. And when they ask them basically, what did you learn, this is their response, you know, research skills, teaching skills, and clinical skills. Let me very briefly focus on accomplishment of the two that who are now the head of the departments. Here is Diana Solikova. And she came to United States for 6 months, and she went for training of the GI, evidence-based medicine research, and she got back to Russia. And Adelia is on the right. She's also now the head of one of the sections. And what they did, they established a curriculum in evidence-based medicine, and you can see it went through many, many, many phases, but right now they have an elective. First, it is obligatory part of the course for the medical students, and also they open or they establish evidence-based medicine rotation to the students and the interns. And this is the syllabus that they put together in both languages, in English and Russian. And then more importantly, they finally could establish the model of the medical education and healthcare team that we have in the United States. In the other hand, medical students and interns and the residents and the faculty, they are basically involved with medical education and also with patient care, a model which was completely unheard in Kazan State Medical University. And because we knew that 11% of the students, basically, they are international, we start basically working on putting together a curriculum in tropical health medicine. And then finally, we introduced the global health program in that university. And I will show you that basically 11 of them, they went to Makerere University and for 6 weeks. And we do have very established program in global health between Makerere University and Yale Medical School. And then finally, I invited Dr. Soan Kambo, Professor Soan Kambo, who is head of the basically the College of the Health Sciences of Makerere, to Kazan. And now we have a basically tripartite relationship between Kazan and Yale and Makerere University. Hospitality of the Russian are phenomenal. I'm telling you, yes, they are amazingly kind and generous people. And several of us now, we are the professors of the Kazan State Medical University. And because it's the public health seminar, I have to only finish, wrap up with one example. There was epidemic of cholera in Kazan in one of the summers several years ago. And then finally, one of the beautiful lake was identified at the source of the cholera. Lake exists the night before. The day after, they pumped the entire water of the lake out. They dried the lake, and there was no new cholera case since then. So that's the Russian approach to basically public.